You doing there? You all heard me just now?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes.
Okay, because my internet seemed to be giving some problems. Amona?
Yes.
Could we start the recording? I'm going to start the class now. Okay, now today, the first thing we're going to ask today, or state today, is to ask the woman to take up a wailing and lamentation for us. Why? Not for us personally, but for the nation, for the church, and for the family. Why do you think? And I want people to answer me, okay? So if you want to answer, you will just unmute the mic. If you think I'm speaking too fast, you can say it. I'm looking to see if where they have a reaction or something like that, you could put up your hand or say something. Tuesday, I noticed Kenya was putting up a hand, so I note that. So if you have your video on, you can wave your hand so that I can see. So somebody tell me why you think that we need to take up a wailing and lamentation for our nation and for our children and the church. Joycelyn, you want to tell me? I'm picking on you. I like how you laugh. You're not sure?
Yeah. Because of what's going on today in our world, I think what's going on today in our world, we have to really lament and cry, wail over our children, you know, and ask the Lord to really help them to be strong in society and in, you know, places that they may go that may not have the morals that they need, and we have to really talk to young women about that, the values and respect that they're supposed to have from other people, better men or women. And I think that it's very important that we do that. I think God hears and he sees every tear, and he understands when we cry and when we lament about situations in our lives, and he hears and answers prayers. That's the best I can do with that question.
Okay. I see Cheryl Jordan has her hands up. Unmute your mic.
That was the end user you asked for the video, but I'll still answer. As women who are wailers for God, God would give us the eyes for the things that are around us. And even though it's the mandate to wail, we would see things like what is going on right now. There are a lot of little children being abused and killed and so on by gunshots and so on. And when we see that, we are supposed to wail because we understand that something is happening in the spiritual. And so we are supposed to take up that wailing for children because they're 3 years, 5 years, and a lot of them are just almost babies and they're going. And then we're seeing people missing and so on. And so we need to stand in the gap. We need to wail because it is not just happening to somebody else. It is happening on our watch. And we are to pray to ensure that it is stopped or curtailed in some way. But God will hear us. If we leave the things undone, we will be held accountable because the scripture is said that we are to tell people about things. And if we don't tell them, their blood is on our shoulders. It's the same way, like if we just see things happen and we don't pray about it, it's like we don't care. We just leave it there to happen.
Okay, great. All right. So why? Because somebody has a mic on and shouting, Janelle. Unmute your mic, please. Okay, so because there's trouble in the nations, there's trouble. Y'all answer it, but it's the same answer. There's death even in the house. So even within our houses, there's death. And sometimes we might think that is only moving from the physical, but even when people are alive, if they don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior, we can see they're dying because they're dying in sins and their trespasses. So even in the homes, in our houses, infants are being killed in nursery schools. Infants are being, young people are being killed in schools. We listen to the news and we hear mass shooting in places like America and other places. So we have people are being shot dead in shopping malls and even in religious gathering. And that happened some time ago, even before this mandate was written, before this religious where the man went in and killed a number of persons in the church. So even this alone usually said to me that the mamas, as we would call them, they are on target. They truly hear it from God. And it says, according to Jeremiah 9, let them raise a mournful cry. And we all know what is a mournful cry. We all know the story behind mourning. They used to hire people to moan and cry out loud, and you know, other people would hear that mourning cry, that lamenting, and know that somebody in the house died. And we need to do that. And as wailing women, we are not to be ashamed to lament. We are not ashamed to mourn and cry out, raise a mourning for our children. Let them raise a lamentation expressing pain, grief, or misery because of sin. Even in our homes, we are supposed to build altars, our family altars, and we would get there in the secret place and cry out on behalf of our family. And Isaiah 62 tells us, don't give God no rest until he hears us. So we expressing that pain. Sometimes you groan because you can't find words to express your feelings or the misery. And when you see sin being prevalent, our bowels would move with compassion, not only for our families, but for the nation and even for the church, when we see what is happening, not in the building, because all of us make up the church. We see what is happening around us. We see some the virgins that are not preparing themselves to have excess oil or trim their lamps. We are to feel that misery, that pain. You know, because one of the thing I usually say, even within my own family, I pray for them morning and night, because I do not want any one of them blood on my shoulders. We have to cry out. We have to mourn. We have to weep. And let them raise not just a mourning, but a high pitch cry in a mournful way. Some people have high-pitched voices. Some people may have soft voices. But we have to cry out loud on behalf of our nation. That's the reason why we are to take up a wailing and a lamentation. Let them lament over the state of the church and the nations. The church is one foundation. The Bible said the gates of hell cannot prevail. But we have to do a lot of things to make sure that the gates of hell cannot prevail. We have to pray, and we also have to live that life that others can see. Let them cry for those who are not able to do what? Cry for themselves. Right, Teresa? Some people cannot cry for themselves. But we can do it on their behalf. We have to stand in the gap like Abraham, who stood in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus stood in the gap for us. He is our advocate. So we can do likewise. We can cry for those who are not able to cry for themselves. There's a chorus that says, somebody prayed for me. They had me on there. Their mind, they sacrificed their time. They went down on their knees and prayed for me. So we can do the same thing. We can pray for somebody. We can pray not only for our family members, but we can also pray for our neighbors. Sometimes we live and our neighbors don't even know we are Christians. But we have to raise a lamentation for them. And in raising the lamentation for them, our life has to show forth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they too would come to know him as Lord and Savior. Let them cry for those who are tired of crying. Could you imagine that? Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get knocked down. I was reminded some time ago about Pilgrim Progress. And if you read that book, you see where Christian had to, the company he ended up, or the crowd he ended up with, diverted him from the path. Sometimes a lot of things in our life cause us to become tired. Even among us as wailing women, we need to pray for each other. We need to lift each other up. Even though we don't know who you are, well, I'm getting to know a lot of people through this, you know, and other meetings. But call on God on behalf of other wailing women. We are an army, as I said before, and we are to watch each other's back. Right, Sabrina? So if Sabrina...
Yes, ma'am.
If Sabrina can get tired, what she needs to do is call another soldier. As soldiers, we are not to leave our fellow soldiers wounded there. We have to take them up. So those who are tired, we need to cry out on their behalf. Those who have lost hope, sometimes we lose hope. We cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. There are those who are victims of war, victims of rape. And some people, they don't want, they're carrying those burdens. But what we need to do is pray for them. They're vulnerable women and children whose life are marred by sexual exploitation, human trafficking. These are things as wailing women, when you are making your prayer points, these are things that you have to bring before God. Go down on our knees, and even though it means we have to lie flat before God, prostrate before God, and cry out sexual exploitation, and we think it's not happening, it's happening. Sometimes it is happening in our country and we're not aware of it. Human trafficking, you have those who have to run for their life, refugees. Now, I read this afternoon where there was, I can't remember, a piece of legislation that have been signed in the United States that those persons who are seeking asylum in the U.S. is no longer going to happen. So we have to pray. We have to ask God. You know, the persons who are making policies, we need to stand in the gap there, because sometimes they make policies that affecting us as Christians, and that would affect us even as wailing women. And God has given us that power to call upon him and he would hear us. People who have lost everything to disaster, we need to pray for them. We need to lament for them. We need to, as I said before on Tuesday, we need to keep our ears to the ground so that we can hear what is happening, and then we can pray, we can cry out, we can lament. They need those who can cry on their behalf. Let us take up that lamentation. Let us take up that mourning. When in our chapter, these are things that we need to put in our prayer points. Put them under the heading of the church, the nation, the family. We have also the praise point. We praise God when God has answered a particular prayer. We praise God for that. And we're saying, as I said before, Wailing Woman is not church as usual. It's not an ordinary woman's meeting. It's not a church meeting. It's not a Bible study. It is time for us to be on the battlefield as soldiers. And when we meet in our chapters, we have to bombard the gates of hell. We have to be watchmen on the tower. We have to be watchmen at the gates. We have to blow the trumpet in Zion to say, to announce that there's time for war. There's time for battle. Not a physical fist fight, but a spiritual warfare. Let them raise a protest. You know, they have a protest in the States, not that kind of protest. Our protest is the spiritual protest, that we go before God, we go before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and show a collective resentment and disappointment concerning the state of violence. Now we are up against where in America they are fighting against the black. They're killing the black men. So that's something that we need to diligently pray about. Crimes, all the evil in the world, whatever the enemy has planned, we need to bombard the gates of hell in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And remember, it is in the name of Jesus, and we have to let the enemy know. Satan, the Lord rebukes you. He rebukes him all the time. So we have to cry on the behalf of all those persons above of violence. The Lord wants to hear the sighs and the cries from many, many people in our world. So if you have five persons or three persons in your chapter, don't say, oh, another chapter have seven. So what happened to us? You know how many of one person can chase? Can somebody tell me? How many of your enemies? Yes,
a thousand.
Thousand, that's right. So if it's two of us, what happened?
10,000.
And what about if it's three of us?
Multiply thousands.
Yes, that's right. So you see, we are not alone, and we have nothing to fear. When we become fearful, it says that we must put our trust in God. So we are not supposed to be afraid. So when it's, don't say, oh, it's just three of us. Three can do a lot of damage. So the Lord wants to hear us crying out. Just as how he reacted when the Israelites cry out in Egypt, they cried for over 400 years. We can cry out on behalf of our nation. We can cry out on behalf of the church. Let's not forget the pastors. The pastors, especially those who have lost their way. Those who preach a different gospel from the gospel that God wants them to preach. Let us bombard the gates of hell and reach to the point where we say to people, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And we have to diligently go to the secret place of the Most High God so that he can speak to us and we can hear him. So we have to do that. He will save us from bondage in time. Don't get tired of crying out to God for a particular thing. Sometimes you may have a prayer point and you're not seeing it being released. Don't stop. Continue praying diligently. Continue bombarding there. Yes, I see a hand up there. You have to unmute the mic. Ramonia, your hand up. Okay. I guess maybe she's having a bit of problem unmuting. Now, could somebody read Exodus 2, 23 to 25 for me? The person who read Tuesday, let me have somebody else. I think Teresa read Tuesday, so I could have somebody else read it today. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. Reading.
Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So if God would have done that, we are the seed of Abraham too, right? We're all aware of that. So if he heard them, then he will hear us.
Amen.
It's just for us to ask. It's just for us to lament. Point six says, it caused their eyes to run down with tears. You know, some people are ashamed to cry, right? They don't want anybody to see them crying. They don't want anybody to see the tears flowing. But it's okay. If we have to cry, we cry. Sometimes when God is dealing with us, all we would see is just a flow of tears. Sometimes we can't speak, but God gathers tears in his own bottles, according to Psalms 56 and verse 8. So we are to cause our eyes to run down with tears when we are crying out. Even though you're in a group, and don't worry if somebody see crying and say, why is she crying? No, in Wailing Woman, we don't watch to see who crying. We lament and we cry out. Sometimes the tears may not literally run down, but the Bible says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So we have to cry out. Let the eyes of women produce excess tears like fountain, and let their lips and heart burn with the fire of liquid prayer that can change the tides of pain and anguish. So you see the power that we have. We're not powerless.
Yeah.
We have the power as an army, as soldiers, to fight, but we have to be diligent. We have to cry out to God at all times, even when we're driving, even when we're walking. We may be doing laundry. We may be cooking while we're cooking. We can cry out. We can talk to God. Let their eyes and face show evidence of deep sorrow, born out of concern for lost sinners. We are supposed to reach the stage now when we know somebody not living right, our hearts must be heavy. That burden we must take to Almighty God. He said we must cast all our cares upon him. So we must reach the stage where we care for somebody. Let that person resonate within our hearts so that we can go to God on their behalf and cry out and lament. Let the Lord hear the voice of your tears. Tears are a language God understands. He sees those tears and he hears them when they fall. God grieves along with man, and he takes us by his hand. So he hears, he holds all these tears. We have to show that we have deep sorrow. Long ago, what they used to do is go down in sackcloth and ashes. We don't literally have to do that. But symbolically, we need to go down before God and cry out. Even when you are at work, you can find some time and cry out to Almighty God, the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac. For the Lord had heard the voice of our weeping when we cry with penitent heart. The Lord will hear and answer us. The Lord had heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. David went on to say he will bless the Lord at all times. When we bless the Lord, then he will destroy in the mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people. Now we know from reading God's word that when Elijah's servant, when the Syrians came up against them, the servant was lamenting about, we are surrounded, we will be defeated, they will kill us. And Elijah said to God, open his eyes here so that he can see those who are for us are more than those who are against us. So when we come together as a group and we cry out to God, he is going to hear us. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all eyes, and the rebuke of his people shall take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That's according to Isaiah 25 and verse 7 to 8. Those who weep and mourn are the company of Rachel weeping for her children. Tears contain salt. We know that. If you ever, your tears run down to your mouth and you taste it, it has salt. And salt is for healing. The salt is there to heal the land. So when our tears flow down with salt to the earth, it brings healing to our lands. God wants to gather volumes of our tears in bottles for divine help to come. So the more tears that falls, God is going to gather them up. You know, like parents who beat the children and the children start crying. What do we say to them? Close your mouth. Close your mouth. We might not say it nice that way. But God doesn't want us to close our mouth. God wants us to cry out loud. God wants us to shed tears. So we have to teach our daughters wailing. We have to teach our daughters wailing. We have to teach our daughters to cry out. And that's why even in different nations, what we need to do is to have our little daughters and sons being part of wailing women. We have to teach them also how to wail. They are the future. And when we move on, we have other persons, other children, other young people who would grow up to be adult to carry on wailing women, to carry on to wail for the nation, to wail for their family, to wail for their peers. So if you have your sons and your daughters, take them to meeting with you. Let them hear how you would lament and cry. Teach them the word. And that is why Israel is so productive, because they teach, they bless the children. Take them along with you. And after a while, you will have a lot of wailing daughters and sons around the Caribbean. Growing leaps and bounds. We have to bring the children in alignment with Almighty God. We are supposed to transfer the skills of wailing to our children, to our daughters, and sons are being made part of it, the boys. We also have, if you have husbands who are Christians, you can have them being part of Men Aglow. All that comprise of wailing women. And if we have the men who would stand behind us, oh, what victory we can have. because the men are the priests of the home. And if we can have them to become part where they know they need to wail, and men don't like to cry, but when they cry, you know, they're in touch with their feelings, but they have to cry out to Almighty God. So when we do that, so we have the men with us, men aglow, our husband aglow. We have the daughters with us. We have the sons a part of us, so we say wailing daughters and sons. We have the men aglow. We teach them. They're part of us. And when we have so many persons praying, so if one person can destroy 1,000, could you imagine when it's a lot of us? And let us not think that if you are in St. Lucia, that is a small group of people, or if you're in Dominica, it's a small group of people. Welcome, Ivory. If you observe, there are a lot of people who are part of Wailing Women around the Caribbean and around the world. So when we weep and we wail and we bring our children, don't leave the children home. Teach them. Go through the manual with them, especially this part that says, teach your daughters wailing. Transfer the skills of wailing women to your daughters. Transfer to young daughters and even sons the burden that God has put in your heart for the church and the nation and the family. Let the work not die in your hands. Ensure that there is a generational transfer. So Sabrina, if you have children, let them be part of Wailing Women. Let teach them how to lament. Right, Sabrina?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. We teach them. When they see us crying out on behalf, I heard a little young lady this morning pray that I was in a prayer group, and I heard her praying, and you know, it encourages us. We have here in St. Vincent Wailing daughters and sons, and when you listen to them pray, it moves you. We should not underestimate the children. They are powerful, and they may become more powerful than we are. And we can say praise the Lord for that. Because the song that says, let those who come behind us find us faithful. The next generation, they must see Christ live within us. So we teach them, transfer the skills that we have learned. Whatever you have learned here, put it into practice. Don't just rest it down. Don't just say, Sister Laverne, say something, and by the time you reach to the kitchen to get a cup of tea after we finish, it flips out of your brain, okay? We have to go after it. That's how we practice the word of God. Let it be part of our life. So we are to provide information. Provide information about the hypocrisy in the world today. What is happening around the world? The statistic of rape, murder, the people who die in wars, national disaster in various parts of the world. This will help us to mourn and pray. And that will drive the children, because when they realize that children are not exempted from what is happening in our world today, a lot of our young people are dying. You know, first time it used to be the aged people. No. Now parents are burying the children when it should have been the opposite way. So we have to mourn. We have to cry out. And if we know somebody who has a child who passed away under whatever circumstance, we need to stand in the gap for them. But let us stand in the gap before. Prevention is better than cure. So if we can stand in the gap to prevent it, let us do it. Wailing Women, we are supposed to be advocates. Advocate for a good cause. You know, sometimes people love to use the word to say that I'm an advocate for the devil. No, we're not supposed to say that as wailing women. We are advocate for the kingdom of God. We are kingdom people. We are battle axes. And we are supposed to fight. We have to fight diligently, fight aggressively in the spirit. You know, some people become angry, but we can become angry, spiritual anger, that we come bombard, go to the gates, the airport, the seaport, whatever ports there are, bombard those ports with prayer. And I said on Tuesday, prayer and fasting. We have to find time. Even though we don't do it as a chapter, we have to do it individually. More power that we have is the more we will be able to chase the enemy out of town. We have to run him out of town. But how can we do that? We have to become very strong advocate. We have to move in advancement of our community. So we need to groom the younger generation, teach them good morals. How do we teach people good morals? We have to be the example. We have to be the role model. It's not, as there's an old saying, do as I say and not as I do. When people see, it stays better with them than if we tell, always telling, oh, I'm a Christian. And then as soon as somebody mash our big toe, even a wailing woman, that can happen. Sometimes even after chapter meeting. But you know what? That's the work of the enemy. He comes to steal there. He comes to cause conflict. So when you see that happening, remember the verse that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the rest that goes with it. So we have to teach them good morals. Teach them how to live the kind of life that honors God. So if our life honors God, then their life, they would see the life that we live. Helen Baylor talked about the praying grandmothers. We can be praying aunties, and we can be praying mothers and praying sisters. And the more prayer is, the more prayer. Don't ever slacken up the prayer. Isaiah 62 tells you, don't stop in, not the exact word. Don't stop calling upon the name of the Lord. His telephone line is never busy. He wouldn't call until he gets tired hearing us, and he never gets weary yet. He loves when we call upon his name. He loves when we have fellowship with him. So when the children see us singing songs of Zion and praising God and lamenting on behalf of even themselves and their siblings and their friends, we'll teach them how to pray. As wailing women, that's what we need to know, so that the younger generation can follow in our footsteps. We don't want them to follow negative footsteps. We want them to follow positive footsteps. Therefore, we have to be the role model. We have to be the people. Now, if it means that we have to disciple our daughters to become good women, the Bible tells us that. Timothy, we have to teach the younger women how to be good wives. In wailing women, we'll teach them how to be good wives, but we also teach them how to be good women, how to be good citizens in our own worthy example. Walk worthy of our calling as wailing women, according to Ephesians 4:1. We are to be. Tuesday night, there was something that was being said. And one of the things we need to do, apart from that, show the chapter, show those persons, show them the example. And sometimes that's how the enemy works. But we have to pray. we have to continue praying. And if just simple praying won't do, we need to get down on our knees and wail. We need to cry out to Almighty God. And the more we cry unto him, is the more he will hear us. And the more the children see us praying, is the more they would want to do. You know, the world is showing them an example and they're going after it. What are we doing as a people of God? As wailing women, let us not be the advocate for the enemy. What is our motive in being a wailing woman? It's not to cast aspersion on another wailing woman. We have to embrace each other. Let us love one another so that when we pray, God would hear us. It also says, teach your neighbor's lamentation according to Jeremiah 9:20. Be concerned about the spiritual welfare and soul of your neighbors. Who are our neighbors? Our neighbors are not just the person who live near to us only. Our neighbors are the people who we meet, maybe at our workplace in the street. You know, sometimes just a good morning, sometimes or a smile can make a difference in somebody's life. How are you today? Joycelyn, how was your day? Sharon, how are you doing? Vinetta, how did you do? And one of the things we need to do as wailing women is to be accountable to each other. When we become accountable to each other, then we'll be able to teach our neighbors. We have to look out for others. The word says we must love ourselves and love our neighbors as how we love ourselves. But first of all, we have to love God with everything that we have. So we have to pray for our neighbors, the souls, pray for their salvation. Jesus died for every one of us. It doesn't matter who the neighbors are. If the person you meet seem to be aggressive or violent, ask God to overturn them. Lord, send your army, send your soldier. Calm that person down in the name of Jesus. Just as how Jesus said to the raging water, peace be still, we can say to them, peace be still. We have the power. God has given us over 101 weapons of war. But we have to read the word of God to know what they are so that we can use them in battle. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Jesus loves you. Sometimes you might not be able to go in detail, but if you can say to somebody, you know, Jesus loves you. They can reflect on that. How could Jesus love me and I'm so wretched? This amazing song. It says amazing grace. How sweet the song that saves a wretch like me. So God's grace is amazing. Tell them about the love of Jesus. And show them how to express sorrow and sadness about the state of wickedness in the church and in our nation. And even within families. Families, we said, they are the fabric of society. And if the fabric of society is bad, then the church is bad, the society becomes bad. Because the same people that comes from our home is the same people that make up our society. So we need to pray. When we're praying, whether in our chapter or even in the quietness of our home, let us pray for our neighbors. We may not know their name, but God knows. He knows their name. Help them to develop inspired dissatisfaction about our collective condition, especially in nations where homosexuality, and that is very prevalent. People are coming up with all sorts of excuses that God made them so, and tell the people that's a lie from the pits of hell. God cannot contradict himself. when God created man, Adam, he created a woman. He even asked Adam to name her. God cannot. And I had to say that some time ago to somebody. God, if you believe in God, God cannot contradict himself. And he cannot lie. So all that situation, let's send it back to the pits of hell. There's where it comes from. Because the enemy wants to contradict what God, turn around what God has made. He wants to imitate, but he wants to make people think that God doesn't know what he's doing. That's a lie from the pits of hell. So we have what you call also gang rapes. They call it a new name, also a new name, threesome and twosome. That's not what God wants. These are things when we meet in our chapter, we need to pray about, pray against. Rituals, murders, we know. The ritual murders and human sacrifice, I don't know if you ever heard about that. But we know when people go to do satanic worship, what they do, they either have to kill an animal or kill somebody. And the first time I learned that is when I was doing my intern, the gangs, the little school gangs. And sometimes you hear young ladies missing since Thursday and they can't find her. She turned up on Tuesday. What she did is she went for initiation in a gang. And what happens in those gangs? You have what you call, she has to serve, do service to the gang leaders and those ranking gangs. We have to pray against those things. We have to pray for our daughters. Some of them are vulnerable, did not show what to do. The homes from which they come from, they don't get love. Nobody loved them, so they go looking for love in the wrong places. So we have to pray against these. So when you're doing your prayer points, pray and ask God, whatever God drop in your spirit, cry out to God on that behalf. Listen to what is happening in your country and around the nations and pray. These practices are rampant. Let your neighbors know that these are the things that bring the wrath of God on the nation. God never created homosexuality. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. If he had created it, he would not have done that. He would have left them alone. But he showed us an example of that. And in Romans 1 that he spoke about, they going leaving the natural use of a man or woman and turn on to their own lusts. If God was pleased with what all those sort of behavior, then he would not have punished. But he destroyed a nation, and we have to be careful. Now what your homework, I'm not sure, I'll have to check. I don't think I'm going to meet you again with the mandate. I might meet you with the manual. But read and discuss Romans 1, 21 to 32. When you meet in your chapter, discuss, read it, study it. Ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and discuss that. And remember, we are not supposed to be just hearers of the word. We must be doers. To whom much is given, much is required. When you do the training, practice what you hear. Yes, Miss Brown.
Lavin, can you repeat the Romans, what you said again?
Romans 1, 21 to 32.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome there. Work as a team and pray for unity of the church. Unity is strength. United we stand, divided we fall. When we come as a chapter, all of us must be in one accord, sending up one thing. So one person is praying a prayer point, everybody must be in agreement. God is not the author of confusion. when you call out the prayer point and say, Sabrina, I want you to pray against the wickedness in the church and the nation, all other person are going to be in agreement with her. It's not for you to go and pray something else different. On the day of Pentecost, all the person came in oneness, unity. We unifying as an army. We have to fight together. It's not this person doing that and this person, and I feel. We don't go with feeling. It's a mandate, and we're supposed to carry that out. We have to work together to accomplish. So wailing women worldwide, we are to walk in unity, pray for the unity of the church in every nation without discrimination. We are to build the body of Christ according to Psalms 133 from verse 1 to 3. So you can write that down also. Psalms 133 from 1 to 3, John 17 from 15 to 21. And we were given Ephesians 4:1. And we could add down to 6. The true church of God must be defended. We must defend the church of God. We can't stand up and allow somebody.
Excuse me, sis.
Yeah?
John 17 what?
15 to 21.
15 to 21.
Yes, there.
Any other?
Ephesians 4, 1 to 6.
Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we have to strengthen ourselves. We have to bind ourselves together so that we can fight against satanic attacks. Now, what we need to do, we need knowledge is power. If we don't know how the enemy works, then we're going in blindly into war.
Yes.
So we have to know what his strategies are. One of his thing is to cause us to become discouraged. If you become discouraged and you lose hope, then you will want to give up. No. Press on. Push. Zero into God. God is the source of our strength. As informed intercessors, we must realize that destiny is corporate. No one can fulfill destiny alone. We can't do it by ourselves. We need others. We are not island by ourselves. We can't work as wailing woman by ourselves. We can't go in disunity. The enemy is going to mash us up. He's going to rip us apart. Because he knows us, you know. He knows us. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. My strength may be your weakness. And your weakness might be my strength. That's why we have to bind together. We have to come together. We can't do it alone. We would not be able to do it by ourselves. So in order for us to defeat Satan, we have to pray. We have coordinators. Let us pray for them also. Let us not in wailing woman. Let us not create hierarchy. There's not any hierarchy in wailing woman. It is one cause we are fighting for. That is to destroy the work of the enemy. So if we are in a chapter and all they're asking us to do is pray, sister, pray. Don't worry about anything else. If they ask you to lead worship and nothing else, and you say, oh, I've been in this group from the beginning, from the foundation. Don't worry about that. What is your purpose in wailing woman? It's to cry and wail, not position. So if they ask you to lead worship, lead worship, lead worship with all your heart. Lament and cry out in your worship. You are the pillar that holds our life. And when we say, yes, Lord, and when we say, oh, you are all that matters, we don't have any time to figure out what this other person could do or can do. Our solace is in God, not in the other person. As wailing women, we come together in unity and in strength to cry out to God, not to fight, not to say, I don't want that person to be the coordinator. I want that person not supposed to be teaching. Hello, when God calls us, we have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will. It is his choice and his will that we need to align ourselves with, not the other person. So let us bind ourselves together and let us call upon the name of the Lord. The 12 disciples who walk with Jesus, they work as a team. It is teamwork that is so important in Wailing Woman. Even in a congregation, it's teamwork that will run the devil out. You cannot go praying, calling upon God, and you have a sister in your mind. Don't take no offense. I think one of the book, I don't know if you are being told, one of the book that we were asked to read as Wailing Woman, maybe there's some people who are new, is The Bait of Satan. I have mine on the table here. Let me show you. This book. I ordered this because I don't like reading off the computer. So you have a hard copy, you read, and it is telling us not, we have to segregate ourselves from offense. If somebody does something, because in the training manual, we have a topic that called forgiveness. The Bible says we're not supposed to let the sun go down on our wrath. So as wailing women, let us get it right. Let us straighten ourselves. Let us square our shoulders and march unto victory. Can only do that when we are united. So, when the tears run down, when we teach our daughters how to lament, we teach our neighbors how to wail, then we're supposed to see changes. It is not, as it says here, and let me read it from the book here. So if you think I'm saying it because I want to say it, do not allow anyone to take over and run the affairs of wailing women in your nation or city as his or her own personal ministry. It is not personal to anybody. Let me say that again, because sometimes people bring, and I keep saying it's not a church thing. So if you belong to, let me see, let me use the name of a church. If you belong to Martin Luther King Church, Wailing Woman is not Martin Luther King Church. The mandate is what we have to follow. It says it's not a personal ministry. And I want to emphasize that. The ministry does not belong to one person. So if an individual in the chapter seems to think it's their personal thing, they should not be allowed. They should not be allowed to take over and run the affairs of Wailing Woman in the nation or the city. So those of us who are here, let that not be named among us. Please, Simone, you putting up your hand. Okay.
No, I'm good.
All right, there. But in all of that, we have to be unique in our approach. make room for manifestation of all gifts. And remember I said earlier, Sabrina, I call in a name, okay? If they ask you to lead worship and do it with all your mind, with all your heart. Sing it out loud. You're not doing it for Laverne, you're doing it for Almighty God, right? Kenya? Yes. So, as Wailing Woman, let's follow the mandate. Pray for God's ways to be known on the earth. That should be a prayer point. Pray for God's ways to be known on the earth. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. God, let your ways be known in all the earth. Fill the earth with praise. That's another prayer point. Fill the earth with praise and the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the sea. Let me tell you where you will find that in Habakkuk 2:14. Habakkuk 2:14 and Psalms 148 from verse 1 to 14. Now it is very important. It is very important as Wailing Woman. We have to practice the word of God, not just preach it.
Excuse me, Habakkuk what?
Two. And verse 14.
Okay, thanks.
All right then. And Psalms 148.
1 and 2.
1 to 14.
14.
Right. So we have to practice what we preach. Practice the word of God. Practice make perfect. If you want to be a very good footballer, you have to practice. If you want to be able to play the piano very well, you have to practice diligently. There are times when Wailing Women are being called to not to sleep. Some time ago, there was a group, a nation, who went up to maybe 6 after 6, 7 o'clock with a vigil. I have a sister who usually asks me, she doesn't know how it is, make it up all night and still wake up the next day and go. It's God. He would give us the strength. Once we remain faithful to God, once we practice what we preach and publish it, for this is where the blessing lie. This is where the blessings lie. Preach the word. Preach it in season and out of season. Preach the word of God in season and out of season. Shout it out on the mountaintop, in the valley, in the street. If you're walking to work or driving to work, as you're going, some people play music in the car. What you can do is turn down the music sometime and pray. You're on Kingston Street, the Jamaican say, Sharon. Or whatever street you may be in, talk to God about the street. You may see some guys on the block. Let Holy Spirit go after them. You may see a group of ladies, the way they dress. Tell Father God to teach them how to dress. We can do it. We have the ability. We have the tools. Preach the word. Teach it diligently. So preach the word, Mark 16:15-18. Teach it, 2 Timothy 4:1-3. 2 Timothy 4:1-3. And most of all, what we need to do is abide by it. We abide by the word of God. St. John 15:5-7. Let the word of God abide in us. When we walk down the street, Miss Butler, Ivy, you have a smile on your face like what you're doing now. Somebody is going to see that smile and say, oh, that lady, happy she's smiling. Deep in your heart, you might be hurting, but a smile is there, right, Miss Saunders?
Right.
Right.
Good. So put a smile on your face. Abide by what we teach. Don't tell people to do something and then you're doing the opposite. Meditate upon the word of God day and night. Meditate upon the word of God. And even in the Psalms will tell you how to meditate upon the word of God. Release men from bondage, nourishing them with the sincere milk of the word of God. Only the truth can make men free. You know, some people don't like to hear the truth, even in wailing women. So wailing women, we have to know the truth. The truth is what's going to set us free. But there's a way to do it. If we see our brother or sister not doing the right thing, call them aside and talk to them. And if a sister is talking to you about something they may see, don't take offense and say, me ain't talking to she again. If that is going to happen, going to prayer is not going to work. We need to be corrected. If we are doing something that is not right in the chapter, we have the mandate to guide us. Just like the Bible and the mandate has it match. If you notice, they give you Bible verses to match what they're saying. So it's not anything far-fetched. We have to tell people the truth. If something is affecting you, go to the sister. The other person doesn't have to know about it. And don't shout it out on the mountaintop. Or pray for the sister. Ask God to open her eyes so that she will see and her ears. Sometimes what we do is pray. A soft word turn it away wrath. Sometimes it's not what we do, it's how we do it. We have to learn to love each other with the love of the Lord. Love beyond loving. And love our sisters. They might not have the same personality as us. They might not think as quick as us. They might not grab something as quick as we do. But let's remember, ladies, wailing women, we are an army. And anytime you miss and you don't shoot, you're going to get killed. You'll get knocked down. We have to know what the word of God says and teach it and live it. Abide by it. And that is what's going to set people free. Build your own nation and others' nations through prayer, teaching your children to fear God and serve him faithfully. Joshua said in Joshua 24, and I think verse 13, he says, as for me and my house, we will do what? Serve the Lord. So let us start in our Jerusalem. Let us bring our family before God. And one would reach one. It's a ripple effect. If we touch one's life, that one can go and reach another. So let them serve God faithfully. The song that says, if don't no one go with me, yet will I follow. Let us follow God diligently as wailing woman. Let us wail according to Jeremiah 9. Remember, the focal point is to wail and moan. Let tears run down. Right, Teresa? Teresa? She's not hearing me. You okay? All right. Rebuild the old waste places destroyed by sinful living in your nation. So you see where some nations, you remember in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was being called to see the walls were destroyed. What did Nehemiah do? The first thing Nehemiah did, could somebody unmute their mic and tell me?
He rebuilt the wall?
No, before he started to rebuild the wall, what did he do? When he heard the news, what was the first thing he did?
He stopped and
He what?
He cried out unto God. He prayed.
That's right. He went into prayer and fasting, Teresa. Yeah. And he cried out to God even before he went to the king. There's a song that says, take me to the king. Before Esther went to the king, what did she do? She prayed and fasted and she made a declaration. As wailing woman, we have to make some declaration. If I perish, I perish, but I go and see the king. But she did not just do that like that. She had even her chamberlains praying and fasting. So sometimes, hair wailing woman, in your household, sometimes you could ask a little one to miss a meal. They might not be able to go to the whole day. You can do what you call a fruit fast. If your household can do that, watch victory, enemy defeated. Hallelujah. And sometimes we make excuse, I am diabetic, I have pressure. Hello. You can have a breakfast in the morning and fast for lunch.
Yeah.
When we go before God in that condition and we are determined to, God is going to hear us. He's going to hear and answer our cry.
Amen.
So there's some wars that we have to fight. But we can't fight them ordinary. Even when Nehemiah, and you observe, Nehemiah found favor with the king. And he found favor as he was going through. Nobody touched him. He found favor in getting materials. He found favor, people. So as wailing women, let us find favor in God when we go through our prayer and fasting, when we find ourselves in the secret place. And most of all, you would hear as wailing woman also, Psalms 51. We need to have that as our memory, our sing song. Always ask God to forgive us, to cleanse us, because we're not sure. Just as how Job makes sacrifice on the behalf of his children, because he was not sure if they sin. So we have to pray and ask for forgiveness on behalf of our nation, our children, our husbands, our sisters, our brothers, the church, the pastors, the leaders. Stand in the gap. We rebuild the old waste places that was destroyed by sinful living in our nations. We dethrone evil kings. So if they're like Nebuchadnezzar, he was dethroned. You don't interfere with the children of God. When we live right, even our enemies become peaceful with us. As wailing women, we have to learn to live right. Let us be example. Let us rebuild the walls of our nation. Let us dethrone evil kings. And when we pray against them, then what is going to happen? We would ask God to produce godly rulers in our nations. All right.
Amen.
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 We are to reorder society and strengthen family values by rebuilding the foundation of marriage as God ordained it originally. And that was being said over and over our family. So if we see a marriage going sour or not going down the drain, find time to pray. You meet in the chapter, pray for marriages. Marriages of wailing women, marriages of our neighbors, marriages of the nations. We need to get back to that place and show the world that God does not accept homosexuality. No, two men can't make children. Two women cannot make children either. That's not what God ordained. So let us take a stand and reorder society. Cry out to God so that society would be reordered. Do it day and night. Give God no peace, as Isaiah 62 said. No peace at all. No peace. Give him no peace. We are to raise a world army of spirit-filled and spirit-led women who can stand in the gap and intercede for their nation and act as gatekeepers. Jeremiah 9, you hear that ever so often. We are gatekeepers. We are battle axes. You read, I think, it's Psalms 144 from 1 to 2. Read Psalms 144 from 1 to 2. And when we see who we are and where we are, we know we have to get ourselves in order, people. Ladies, we are an army. We raise an adult army. We raise a children army, wailing daughters and sons. We raise a men army, men aglow. So pray for the men in your nation, those of you who come from different nations. Pray for your men in the nation so that they would be part of Men Aglow, who would do the same thing here, what you're doing, praying on behalf of the nation, the church, the family. It doesn't matter. This is time for us to recover. So the army is the multicultural army, multi-ethnic army, multilingual army. We have to be selfless. We have to be loyal to the Lord. And we have to command the Lord of hosts. God is the commander of the Lord of hosts. Jesus plays an important role in that. So when we call on our commander, and that's why we're saying, don't look at the coordinator. Look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you think the coordinator may not be doing the right thing, put them before God. And perhaps you can go in a nice way. You can go in a nice way and talk to the person and say something to them. Soft word, turn it away, right? And say to them, you're doing something that is not correct. But you have to match it with this and with the word of God. Mandate. And I'm sure as you go along, you're making notes. Read, read, read. Read and understand so that when we are going to fight the war, we know exactly what tools to use. Okay, ladies?
Amen.
Any question quickly?
Amen.
Any question, Teresa? Any question, J7, Joycelyn, Kim, okay. Saunders, well, Cheryl?
Well said, well done.
Well said, just well done.
Sabrina, Simone, yeah.
Mr. Lavin, I'm quite satisfied with your explanation and what you teach. I have the manual, so I just have to read and digest and read and reread until I get everything to my system.
Yes, because you never know if you'll be called upon to share.
Yes, yes.
Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed. Rightly divided the word of truth. Vinetta, any? Sharon, any comment?
No, ma'am, good job.
Okay, to God be the glory. Sharon?
Thank you, sister. Very clear explanation, very good encouragement. Sometimes when we become a part of a group, an army, we're not so sure as to how what the mandate is. So this training is very relevant and applicable. So we should just try to comply. Thank you.
All right. I see Pastor John with us. Oh, Simone, I see your face now. Some people are hiding the face from me. They don't want me to see the face.
No.
Well, I know Veneta. Well, I know Veneta.
I didn't hide my face. I just know sometimes the...
All right. I know Pastor John. I don't know Jocelyn. I know Mona. I don't know who is Galaxy T. Yvonne Williams. Okay, good. So I'm seeing some faces now. And I am happy to be with you for the past 2 days, Tuesday and Thursday. And you will see me again. You'll see me again. But if there's any question on this particular chapter you're not aware of, you will find a way of finding me.
Yes, sure.
Yes. You know somebody,
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Mona.
Who is Galaxy Tab?
I don't know. Galaxy Tab, could you say who you are? Galaxy Tab A2016. We have to take a roll call, so unmute your mic. Okay, just put Galaxy Tab. We're not sure who it is, Mona. Maybe we'll find out after.
Okay.
Jocelyn, I'm happy to have all of you with on this program. And I'm delighted y'all are giving me the energy, because today I felt tired. I did a lot of teaching this week, so I want to thank God for the strength. Amen. Somebody's just coming in, Elizabeth Johnson. I think Elizabeth is just joining, but we have completed our teaching so far, waiting any question. Cheryl? You understand what we did tonight?
Oh, yes, of course I did.
Oh, you're very quiet. I usually pull out the quiet people in the class. You know? Yes, so. And I know Kenya was very sort of quiet too, so I pull out those who are quiet, not say much. And she have a very pleasant smile, so keep smiling. You never know. That might touch somebody's heart. Elizabeth?
Hi, good night.
Good night. You wish to say amen?
Amen.
All right. I think that, Mona, could you stop the recording, please? Thank you very much.